At least twice a week, I used to find myself in a periwinkle blue poofy dress with a white pinafore. My stockings were striped and my hair was held firmly by a headband that dug into my head behind my ears. My breasts, still tender and growing, were painfully flattened by a tensor bandage. It was a dream that I frequently found myself in, where nothing anyone around me said made any sense, and it was all hostile. Hostile towards my common sense, hostile towards my youth, hostile towards my growing up. I knew I didn't want to be a child. I wanted to be a queen. But I didn't want to be left alone or tested or made fun of or do all the things that seemed to be necessary to become a queen. I would follow corkscrew paths. I had to run in order to stay in the same place. People would scream in pain before they were hurt. There was a mint in my mouth for good luck. I wanted to kill myself. Sometimes when I woke from this dream, I remembered that I was, in fact, wearing a rose-colored dress and not a blue one. Sometimes I corrected my subconscious. Most of the time, though, I woke up incapable of differentiating the portrait of myself from the iconic John Tenniel illustrations, colored in modern reprints. I wonder if Alice Liddell had the same problem. The real Alice was a sullen-looking child with dark hair and eyes. In one of the photographs that Charles Dodgson, Lewis Carroll, took of her, the beggar maid, she looks alarmingly sexual, taunting him, challenging him to want more. At least that's how I viewed the photograph when I was a young teenager. As I look at the same photograph now as a grown woman, I wonder what instructions the adult taking the photograph gave to her to produce such an alarming effect. In the books and movies that were consumed by millions, though, Alice is golden and fair, waspy beyond measure, and exudes innocence. The books, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, have passed through children's hands for over a century now, cloaked in this deceptive costume. Ever since I can remember, these books inspired a terror and an exasperation in me. Every one of Alice's attempts to make sense of her new, irrational world, to find anything approximating normalcy, or to simply get home, is thwarted by mean-spirited creatures with their own irrational systems of logic. Despite my father's love of these books, I never, as a young child, wanted to hear them read at bedtime. They left me exhausted, haunted by a kind of relentless uncertainty. I feared that if I took any time to live inside these stories, the walls and ceiling of my childhood bedroom might soon collapse into dust and be replaced by kooky angles of drywall. As an adult, I experience this same aversion to movies that remind me of the Alice books, or that mirror this same quality of someone constantly trying to get somewhere and failing. Movies like After Hours make me want to scream. They make me feel nauseous and aggravated and goose-pimply. I hate stories in which people can't get to where they're going. As there seemed to be no chance of getting her hands up to her head, she tried to get her head down to them, and was delighted to find that her neck would bend about easily in any direction, like a serpent. She had just succeeded in curving it down into a graceful zigzag. "But I'm not a serpent, I tell you," said Alice. I'm a... "Well, what are you?" said the pigeon. "I can see you're trying to invent something."
I'm a little girl," said Alice, rather doubtfully, as she remembered the number of changes she had gone through that day.
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. When I was 15 years old, I got caught through the looking glass in a pink dress, in a crisp white pinafore, with my breasts bound, playing younger than I was. My spine had by then bent, perhaps I thought then under the weight of grief, to a 45-degree angle. So along with the tensor bandages pulled tightly across my chest, the pink dress itself was lined with various strategically placed pads to make my shoulders, my back, and my waist appear symmetrical. Even then, it took effort to appear straight. On two show days, I would begin to sag sideways, the tips of my left hand's fingers almost touching the side of my left knee. One of my left ribs, just under my breasts, protruded so much that it created a noticeable lump right in the middle of my torso, causing the right rib to slough out of view.